Count it a real joy for the great privilege I have to be with you today. And I want you to open your Bible, please, to the book of Revelation, chapter 1, and to the book of 1 John, chapter 1. Read a few verses here from this infallible, inerrant, perfect, pure, forever settled Word of God. Amen. 1 John chapter 1, look at verse 8, please, where the Bible said, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, where the Bible said, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Our Father God, we love you today and we thank you for the wonderful privilege we have to be in the house of the Lord and to be able to enjoy these good songs that warm our heart and the good preaching, Lord, that helps us to live for you, and God feeds us and gives us strength. I pray now that you would help your unworthy servant. Give me what I need to preach. I pray you would touch the Word of God to the hearts of the people, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to preach for just a few minutes today on what can wash away my sin. Amen. When D.L. Moody, the great old evangelist, first started preaching, a woman came to him one night and said, "Brother Moody, if you want to be effective, you're going to have to stop preaching all this stuff about the blood of Jesus Christ." And D.L. Moody said, right then and right there, he determined that he would preach more about the blood of Jesus Christ than anything else. I'll tell you, the doctrine of the Lord's atoning blood is such a gigantic, colossal truth that its depths can never be fathomed, my friend. I'll tell you, it's beyond our little finite minds to comprehend such glorious truth while we're down here in this world, and then it will forever be our marvel as we when we get to heaven and as we look upon His face. It's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, neighbor, that your sins and my sins are gone. It's through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that our salvation is guaranteed. Hallelujah. I want to preach on that thought. What can wash away my sin? I know we live in a day, and a lot of people call what we believe a slaughterhouse religion, and the liberals and the infidels and the infrahels, they've tried to take the blood out of the songbooks. They've tried to take the blood out of the scriptures. They've taken the blood out of their sermons and out of the sanctuary. But I want to tell you, neighbor, when you take the blood out of a body, there's death. Amen. And when you take the blood out of a church service, all you've got left is dead religion. I hate dead religion. Amen. I'm sure you've heard this before, but the word sin is mentioned 447 times in the King James Bible, and the word blood is mentioned 447 times in the King James Bible. That tells me that there's enough blood to take care of any sin. Hallelujah. My God, not only is it this blessed book, I'll tell you, it's a bloody book, believer. There's a scarlet thread that runs through this book that binds together all of its pages, binds together all of its promises, binds together all of its power. I'll tell you, it's the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the crucified one. Let me give you two or three thoughts, and I'll be done. What can wash away my sins? Comes from a supernatural person. Notice the words in our text where it said the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. Listen, that ain't ordinary blood, neighbor. There's never been blood like the blood that flowed down Calvary's tree. I'll tell you, it's exclusive blood. None like it, hallelujah. It's one of a kind. It can't be duplicated, amen. It's exclusive. I'll tell you, it's excellent blood. Without a taint of sin, without a taint of impurity, amen. Listen, not only that, it's exempting blood. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ exempts us from sin's prison and from the devil's hell, amen. But what can wash away my sin? The blood of the Lord Jesus. It's existing blood. Thank God, the same blood that flowed down Calvary's hill is still in existence today. Amen. I was reading a book by a real famous author, if I called his name. I'm sure many of you would recognize him. He's gone now, but he wrote a lot of books, and in that book he was talking about the blood of the Lord Jesus, and he said that blood is just symbolic. Said it's not really the blood that saves us. He said the blood of Jesus was no more than any other man. Said when that blood ran down the cross, that it puddled up at the foot of the cross, it clotted and it dried up and the wind blew it away. When I got to that part, I closed the book. I said he may have been learned, he may have had a lot of education and a lot of know-how, but he don't know the first thing about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It didn't blow away. It adorns the mercy seat in the glory world today. Thank God it's still there. And it's still powerful. And it's still potent. And it still washes away a man's sins. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Can you imagine all the sins that's been dumped over into that blood on the mercy seat, but it's still pure? Thank God it has not been contaminated. It just washes them away. Woo! It's excellent blood. It's existing blood. It's exonerating blood. Amen. It's the only thing that can take away your guilt, neighbor. Amen. What a blessing to be out from under the guilt of sin. It's exterminating blood that destroys the virus of sin. It's extinguishing blood. Thank God. 45 years ago, it put the fire of hell out for me forever, amen. It's extended blood. It reaches out to any sinner, neighbor. Thank God any man, woman, boy, girl that wants to be saved can be. Hallelujah. If they'll come God's way, God will save them. Amen. Amen.
Woo. Yes, amen.
It's extraordinary blood.
Yes, amen.
One of the most
incredible verses in the Bible is Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, where it said, "Take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God," listen, "which He hath purchased with His own blood." The blood that was shed at Calvary, neighbor, was the blood of God. Hallelujah. The blood of the supernatural Lamb of God. It's innocent blood. There was no violence. Neither was there any deceit in His mouth. The Bible said, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him." It's innocent blood. Amen. Thank God. I was thinking about that lamb Abraham took his little boy Isaac up on the mountain and was going to offer him up a sacrifice, a burnt offering unto the Lord. God told him to. He went 3 days' journey. Anybody that reads the Bible knows that 3 days has something to do with the resurrection. Amen. And old Abraham had faith to believe that God would raise his son up, even if he did take his life. They're going up the hill. Little Isaac looks around. He sees the fire and the wood and the knife. The son's missing. He said, "Where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And old Abraham picked up that telescope of faith, and he looked down through the canyons of time, and he said, "My son, God will provide Himself a lamb." Hallelujah. I was thinking about in the book of Matthew, the lamb is not mentioned. In the book of Luke, in the book of Mark, the lamb is not mentioned. In the book of Luke, the lamb is not mentioned. But when you come to John, chapter 1, the question Isaac asked, way back yonder, where's the lamb? Old John standing out there on the river bank, and he looked up. And he said, "Looky here, boys, here he comes. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Woo, glory. So I like that, don't you? I read where some pointy-headed professor said that Jesus Christ didn't have to die on the cross, that He could have died any other way, and it would have accomplished the same thing. Said He could have fallen down a hill and broken His neck, and it would have accomplished the same thing. That ain't just heresy, neighbor. That's blasphemy. Amen. I'll tell you, the Bible said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Gold is the most precious metal known to man. Our gold standard in America is 18 carat. The rest of the world, the gold standard is 24 carat. That means America will accept the lowest standard. Amen. She'll take the lowest standard. That'll preach right there, son. But I ain't gonna preach that. They say gold is a precious, the most precious metal known to man, and for years a solution was sought for that would dissolve and separate the precious gold so it could be bought and sold. Finally, after years of experimenting, a solution of nitric acid and hydrochloric acid was come up with and put to the test, and sure enough, it can dissolve and separate gold from any ore, and the combination of those acids became known as the Royal water. Amen. Because it was at that time, it was the only solution that could totally dissolve and separate gold. I want to tell you something, neighbor. There's only one solution that can dissolve and separate the stain of sin from the human heart. The only spiritual solution to sin's pollution is the blood of the Lord Jesus
Christ.
Let me give you the second thing. The blood cleanses with supernatural power. Our text said the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. The verse don't say the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, has cleansed us. But it says cleanseth. Cleanseth us. That word cleanseth is in the present tense. It means it cleanses and it keeps on cleansing. Hallelujah. Thank God the blood that saved you, neighbor, that washed away your sin and made you clean. That same blood, it's still cleansing you today, yesterday, today, tomorrow. Thank God it still cleanses. When you go to the grocery store, if you can still afford to go, I went to the grocery store for Sue the other day, and I come back to the house, and she said, "Where's the groceries?" I spent $75. She said, "Where's the groceries?" I said, "In the glove box." But when you go to the grocery store, you look on those products, they have a expiration date on it. And it says, used by this date. And if you don't use it by that date, milk for instance, if you don't use it by that date, then it'll spoil and it won't be any good. Amen. But I thought about this, neighbor, that precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ will never, never, never lose its power. It's effective. Thank God it will do the job. It's just as potent today as it was when it flowed from Emmanuel's vein over 2,000 years ago. Thank God that there is a fountain that filled the world. From Emmanuel's vein, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stain. The only person that gets clean is the person that will admit he's dirty. When my son was growing up, his mom had an awful time getting him in the bathtub. I mean, son, it was a fight just about it. To get him in the bathtub every day. She couldn't get him in. And then when he got in there, he didn't want to get out. He wanted to see how quick he could rot the floor out in the bathroom. But I'll tell you, he said one day, he told his mama, she said, "Son, it's time to get a bath." And he said, "Mama, I don't want to get a bath." She said, "You want to be a clean little boy, don't you?" And he said, "Yeah, but couldn't you just sort of dust me off? Couldn't you just dust me off?" That's the way a lot of folk want it today. They won't admit they're dirty. They just want a little dusting off. Some little old snack pack. Some little ecumenical something. They'll make them feel better. But thank God, I'm glad there is a fountain. I'm glad there's a place where we can get a blood bath. Amen. I
tell you what now. I don't know about you, son, but I know me. And I know Danny Hall. And I know Brother Collins, son, we needed a blood bath. I mean, we're as dirty as hogs, wasn't we? We needed a blood bath. You know why? You need a blood bath, neighbor, because your hands are dirty. Your hands are dirty with your sinful deeds. Hearts are dirty because of sinful desires. Heads are dirty because of sinful deliberations. I'll tell you, neighbor, the crimson flow that washes whiter than snow, that's the blood bath we need.
Say something very blunt right here. You can have forgiveness. You can have forgiveness, or you can have filth, but you can't have them both. Sin has to be confessed and forsaken. That blood cleanses, neighbor. Unless that sin is confessed, there can be no fellowship with the Father. Amen. Let me give you this last thought and I'm done. Number 3. What can wash away my sin? Completes a supernatural purpose. I'm glad the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ completed the job, Brother Timmy. Amen. Jesus completes it. He didn't halfway save me. Hallelujah. But He washed me in that royal blood, and I stand before you here today complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, it ain't the blood plus the baptistry. It ain't the blood plus church membership. It ain't the blood plus some beads or wafer. I'll tell you, it's the blood and the blood alone that gives you and me the right to stand before Him uncondemned. Thank God Jesus paid it all. Martin Luther said he dreamed one night, and in his dream the devil stood at the foot of his bed and had a great scroll in his hand, and he unfolded that scroll, and on that scroll was listed all of Martin Luther's sins. And the devil said, "Look at this, Martin Luther." I said, "That's going to send you to hell." Martin Luther said, "Yeah, but you need to look down there at the bottom of that scroll. Where it says the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth from all sin." Amen. I read about a climbing expedition in the Swiss Alps, 6 men. And these men were beginning a very dangerous descent from a high and rugged peak. 3 of the men had already started down, and 3 were still on top. And just as the 3 got started down over the peak, going to make their descent down, just as they got started, one of them lost his footing and began to fall. And of course, the other 2 men were swept along with him because they were all connected together with that safety rope. The 3 men on the top, they braced themselves, getting ready for the shock when those men reached the end of that safety rope and they were going to hold on to them and pull them back to the top. But lo and behold, when they reached the length of that safety rope, it snapped. And those men on top watched in horror as those 3 men, their compadres, they fell thousands of feet to their death. Amen. And these men on top, boy,
they started that slow, painstaking descent, anxious to get out there and find out what happened. Why did the safety rope break? The safety rope was an alpine club rope. It was called an alpine club rope, and it was called the rope of hope. The rope of hope. And the survivors, when they got down there, they thought their safety rope was an alpine club rope. But to their horror, when they looked at it and examined it, it was not an alpine club rope. It was a cheap substitute. How did they know, preacher? Because a true alpine club rope has a scarlet thread that goes all the way through it, from one end to the other. And this one had none. Amen. I don't know what your rope of hope is that you're holding on to. I don't know what you're depending on to keep you from falling to the depths of hell. But my rope of hope, Brother Coley, my rope of hope is that shed blood. Hallelujah. Woo! I went to church. Hey, I don't remember nothing about February the 9th, 1960. February the 9th, 1965. I don't remember nothing that happened that day. Not a thing. Me and my wife had gotten married in October of 64. And I'm sure we celebrated Thanksgiving that year. But I don't remember a thing about that. I'm sure we celebrated Christmas. Don't remember a thing about it. Don't know if I got anything or if I gave any prayer. I don't remember nothing about that. I know we celebrated New Year's. Don't remember nothing about that. February the 9th, I came to the house from work. I'm sure I went in, took a bath. I don't know. I don't remember a thing about that. But February the 10th, at 1965, at the 11th Avenue Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia, in an old-fashioned revival meeting. But son, I slid under the altar and I called on God. That preacher said, "It's Jesus or hell." I said, "I'll take Jesus." It's a great old big church. We're sitting about 2/3 of the way back on this aisle over here. My wife was sitting beside me. My mother was sitting on the other side. And that old preacher was a preaching on hell. So I mean, he was letting it rip. And hey, I felt real uncomfortable. I looked over at my mama, and my mama was weeping, tears just streaming down her face. I looked over at my wife, tears were streaming down her face. And for some strange reason, I could feel the tears running down my face. Boy, that old preacher, he preached on hell for a while. But then he said, "There's a cross on the road to hell." He said, "If you go to hell, you'll have to go around the cross." I went to that altar. And this is the prayer I prayed. I said, "Lord, that preacher said I was going to hell. And I believe him. I am. So I said, if I do go to hell, I'm going to go trusting in your blood to save me." Guess what happened? I I tell you this, about 2 acres of heaven come down right there, son. Amen. Hey, I couldn't have told you what happened. I couldn't have written it down. I couldn't have given you a theological explanation. I only knew that when I went down the aisle, I was on my way to hell. And when I went back to my seat, I was on my way to heaven. Oh, and it's all because the blood, that my rope of hope is the blood.
Hallelujah. What's your rope of hope today? What are you trusting in to get you to heaven? Preaching one time in a little church, and an old lady that had been she'd been riding the van to church. Old woman walked on the cane. Boy, it got good. People started coming to the altar. Some people was getting saved. And this dear old lady, she come up there on that cane and just stood in front of the pulpit. I thought maybe she'd come to pray. I knew her husband was lost. I thought she'd say she'd been coming a long time. Looked down there at her and I said, "Miss Alice, something I can do for you. What do you need?" Big old tears running down her face. She said, "I need to be saved, preacher." And that old woman, she couldn't bow, but she called on God right there, and God saved her.
Amen.
And afterward, I talked to her, and she said that she remembered going to the altar once when she was a child, going up because a bunch of other folks did. But she said nothing ever happened. She said, "I want to be saved."
Amen.
What happened? Did you have a personal experience with Christ? Somebody asked P.B. Bliss, an old songwriter, great old preacher. They asked him, they said, Mr. Bliss said, can you be saved without having a personal experience with Christ? And he said, "Son, being saved is a personal encounter with Christ."
Amen.
If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Him as your Savior, I want to invite you to come quickly, because time is swiftly passing. It'll be over sooner than any of us think. Let's stand all over the building.